Amen. Happy New Year, church. I hope the Christmas was wonderful for you all. I know I enjoyed the break. And I hope you kept warm. I gotta tell you, man, I have to wonder sometimes, you know, if I was actually in Ottawa. I've been here 11 years, and I've never felt it this cold at this time of year. You know, it was crazy. But God is good. Yes. I look at the weather, and I can't see even +2 on Thursday. And my daughter, she's all excited because +2, it says freezing rain, and it means the possibility of no school the next day. She's like, yeah. It's amazing how kids are. But you know, at the start of each year, it's one of those times when we reflect, isn't it? We look back at the past year, we look at our lives, and we think about it. We think about our successes, we think about areas where we weren't so successful, and then we make resolutions for the new year, to improve our lives, to be more victorious in different areas of our lives, which is great. It's a good thing to do, you know, to want to be victorious. God wants us to be victorious. That's God's plan for our lives, you know. He wants us to be successful. But one of the things, I saw some research recently, and what it says that 80% of those who make resolutions never carry through with it. 80% of people who make resolution fail at it. And, you know, psychologists, you know, they put in their 2 cents in regards to it, and they're saying, you know, the reason, they give many reasons, you know, the goal's not smart, or, you know, it's the different things. But one of the reasons that I find interesting that they say is that the mindset of those who made the resolutions. The intention was good, but the mindset wasn't there. The mindset wasn't right. And because the mindset wasn't right, the attitude that they approached the resolutions with wasn't right. And so they failed. And so it shows how important it is to have the right mindset approaching anything at all that we have in life. Anything that we want to be successful in, it requires right mindset. Amen? And so today I want to talk to you about just that. New year, new attitudes for success. Amen? New year, new attitudes for lasting success. Before we start, let's go ahead in prayer. Almighty God and Father, I come before you this morning as your servant, as one called out of the world, Lord God, to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you. And as I come before you this morning, Father, I beg for your help. I beg for your guidance as I share this lesson with your people. It is your word, Father, and it is your message. And so I beg, Father, for your spirit. I beg for your guidance to give understanding, to give clarity, to give vision into the words that we're looking to. And please let the words that I speak, Father, go with clarity, with authority and power to accomplish the will that you want in each and every one of our lives today, so that we can lead victorious lives in 2018. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So psychologists are saying or revealing something that the Word of God has already pointed out a long time ago. That if our attitudes are not right in regards to our approach to life, our approach to godliness, then we're not going to be successful. We're not going to be successful in business. We're not going to be successful in our marriage. We're not going to be successful at work. But it's God's will that we be successful. And God wants us to be successful. And so he sent Jesus Christ into the world to teach us how to be successful. And so what attitudes do we need to have? What needs to take place in our life so that we have attitudes that actually leads to success, to lasting success. Because, you know, sometimes you make resolutions and what happened? You know, I'm like me, you know, my wife's always saying that she wants muscles. And that's usually one of my resolutions, to put on some muscles. And I'll start, you know, I got the gym downstairs and I'll start working. You know, some little things start showing here and there. And then as the year progresses, you know, you get tired and I can't bother to wake up. And all of a sudden, the basement is just too far. And then I stop. And then the little gain I had is lost. And my wife is like, man, you're flattered to deceive. What's going on? But that's what happened. We don't just want momentary success. We want lasting success. Amen? And so God sent Jesus into the world to help us to have lasting success. And this is what he says in the scriptures in Ephesians 4, 22 through 23. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation version. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. That last part in the NIV says, be made new in the attitudes of your mind. So in other words, looking at this passage, it's saying if we want new attitudes that leads to success, there needs to be a transformation that takes place in our minds first. And when that transformation takes place, then it will by extension go to our attitudes, amen? Which leads to success. And that is what we want, a transformation of our minds. And why it's so important that it starts in our minds, because this is where we, our evaluation system lies, where we make value on things that are important and things that are not, things that are priorities and things that are not. And this is where we hold our perception of God and God's perception of us and the things that we're doing. And if our value system is not aligned with God's, if our perceptions of God is not aligned with God's perception, then it means that our mindset is not going to be aligned with God's mindset, and our resulting action will not bring us the success that we desire. And so, Paul, this morning I want us to look at some things that can help us to be successful, to have lasting success from scriptures. The Apostle Paul had some attitudes that he needed to change. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. And there were some attitudes that he had in his life that just wasn't good. It wasn't beneficial. It wasn't aligned with God's attitudes. And so he needed a change of attitude so that he can be more successful, so that he can more live the life that God designed him to live. And so I want us to take a look at Paul's experiences and see what we can learn from him there. And I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 9. And we'll start reading Acts from verse 1 through verse 9. It reads, so just to give a little idea before we start reading and while we go. So Paul was amongst the religious leaders of his day. Very educated, sharp guy. Very zealous for his religion. You know, he was practicing Judaism, and that's the old way of worshiping God. You know, Christ presented a new way. But he was very zealous for the old system. And when Christ came and Christianity started, he saw it as a threat. And he became bitter and angry and was out to persecuting Christians, telling them not to go that way, but to stay in the old system. And so anyone who practiced Christianity, he would go and he'll get letters from the leaders to haul them off into prisons. He was there even supervising the death of the first martyr, you know, Stephen at the time. And so the story continues in chapter 9. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So this was Saul. Had certain convictions, certain beliefs that he thought to be true. Now understand what I'm saying here and the things I'm going to share with you. This is not a non-Christian. This is a believer in God. A very zealous believer in God. But his attitudes was not right. It was not aligned with God's system. And sometimes, you know, it's important for us to understand that we take comfort many times in believing because I'm a Christian, everything that I do is good. But unless we align our values, align our beliefs, align our convictions with the word of God, we can go astray. We can lose our way. And so there is a transformation that Paul had to go through to help him to develop, to get that transformation and develop the right attitudes so that he led a life that was pleasing to God. And he experienced success. And one of the first things, if we want to develop those attitudes that will help us to have lasting success, one of the first things we need to do is to pay attention to the signs and reflect. Pay attention to the signs and reflect. Paul was doing his thing. But it wasn't right, as we mentioned. You know, sometimes we do things and it's not pleasing to God. But we serve a God who is, he loves us intensely. He loves us deeply. And the things that we do, he sees. And he's concerned when our attitude and our actions and our mindset is not aligned with his. And so he'll use signs and different things to get our attention, to help us to get back on track. Sometimes God will use someone else to reach out to you and tap you on the shoulder, to come and talk to you and say, "Brother, sister, you need to consider what you're doing. You need to consider what you're thinking or contemplating." Sometimes he may speak to you through his spirit to tell you something. And if that doesn't work, then he may have to take more drastic measures like what he did with Saul, which knocked him to the ground to get his attention. But God loves us too much, brothers and sisters, to leave us the way that we are. He's going to do things to get our attention, and we need to pay attention to the signs. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, have you been paying attention to the signs that God put in your life through 2017? If you think back at 2017, and you think back at all that happened in your life, have you been paying attention to the signs? Have you heeded those signs? Whether it be signs in our interpersonal relationships as brothers and sisters. As you know, as a church, we've been going through a little bit of struggle. We've been going through some struggles. But we've been learning from it, amen? And the point when we actually started to learn was the point when we started to pay attention. To pay attention to the signs and to reflect on the lessons. Reflect on the lessons that God is trying to give us. Paul had to stop. And he says, who are you? He had to validate exactly what was happening here. He didn't understand exactly what was happening, and he had to validate it. And when he understood that this is actually from the Lord, he had to reflect. It said he spent 3 days voluntarily fasting, praying, contemplating. We need to pay attention to the signs. We need to reflect on the lessons that God's trying to teach us. Because God's got great plans for each and every single one of us. Amen? He's got plans for the church. The church is His church. And God created the church for it to be glorious. God created the church for it to have an impact. To be of benefit to the lives of those around us. Amen? The church is not here for Christians. The church is here for non-Christians. We are here to reach the lost, to bring glory to God in whatever way that God will put upon our hearts. And so when things start going, you know, things not working out as we expect it to in our lives, when things not working out as are not looking good for us as a congregation, we need to stop and take stock. We need to look at the signs and ask yourself a question. What is God trying to teach me here? If in your marriage you find that you're having some difficulties communicating, stop and ask yourself a question. What is God trying to teach me? What is your attitude this morning? What is your attitude like when somebody comes and taps you on the shoulder? Is it one where you're receptive? Reflective? Or is it one where we rebel and we resist? Because oftentimes that's our attitude, isn't it? I love to get encouragement. So if you come and you tell me, you know, Chris, oh, nice haircut, brother. Isn't it like, yeah, man, thanks, man. Cost me $30. But then if you come and you tell me, Chris, your attitude, brother, you're being prideful and you're being arrogant. Oftentimes, my first response is not one of receptiveness. It's more, why are you saying that to me? Who are you to say that to me? Aren't you the same way? And when we're like that, we miss the signs. We miss the opportunity that God has given us to grow and to mature and to really flourish and be that man and woman that God is calling us to be. And so I want to encourage us this morning to take a humble approach, because God's doing a new thing. Amen? This is 2018. If I start, you know, and I don't sound all that well, or I'm, you know, I'm doing things a little bit off, be patient with me, you know. God's not done with me yet. The year's just started. Still working on me. But pay attention to the signs and take heed to the lesson. No matter what you're doing. I remember back in the 2000s, Blockbuster was a big thing. You remember that? Go and get your videos and watch. And an opportunity came for Blockbuster CEO to purchase Netflix. And their thought was, nothing's going to happen of this. What's this streaming business? And they missed the sign of the changes that was taking place. At the time, they could have purchased Blockbuster they could have purchased Netflix for $50 million. Netflix is now a $19 billion business. And Blockbuster is out of business. They miss the sign. So let's take heed so that we don't miss those opportunities that God gives us to truly be victorious and flourish. Amen? The second thing that we need to do if we want to develop those attitudes that leads to lasting successes, we need to surrender. We need to surrender, absolute surrender. Paul, with all his education, with all his talent, with all his zeal and his learning, come to the point after his reflection where he realized that I have to surrender. The way I was going was not right. And he had to surrender not just some things. Paul had to surrender everything because he was so zealous for God. He gave his all. And then to find out that his all was wrong in terms of what he was doing. It was so wrong. Can just imagine how hurt he felt. Thinking about his sin and just how wrong he was. And all the wrongs that he did. And he had to surrender. And Paul surrendered completely to God. To God's new mindset, to God's new way of thinking. And we, how do I know that? We see it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Let's read that together. What does it say? Paul says, I count everything a loss. Everything a loss. He didn't count just some things. He surrendered everything to Christ. It shows the depth of his surrender after realizing, after coming to an understanding of where he was. What's the depth of your surrender this morning? Do we surrender everything to God or we surrender just some things? Are we willing to give just Sundays only? But Wednesdays, you know, I'm busy. I have no time for Wednesdays. What's the depth of your surrender? Because unless your surrender, brothers and sisters, is complete, is 100%, God cannot use you. God will not use us. God will not use us as a church if we don't surrender 100% to his will. Amen? We can't just give some things but not. We can't be willing to go this far and no further. What's the depth of your surrender this morning? How far are you willing to go in 2018? There are often times when God needs people to do things in his kingdom. Are you surrendered and willing and available? Are you only surrendered if the position is a certain one? Are you surrendered only if it's a family group leader, but not a children's church worker? We need to be completely surrendered. Amen? Paul had to surrender his entire life. He also had to surrender attitudes. As I mentioned, he had to come to grips that there are some things that I was holding on to that was completely wrong. He had to surrender his failures. Just think how hard it can be. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but I tend to be a perfectionist at work. I like to do things perfect. And that is good and bad. You know, it's good in the sense that, yes, you know, you want to do good quality work, but it's bad in the sense that sometimes you can get hung up on something that you shouldn't be hung up on. Sometimes we get hung up on things that we shouldn't, and sometimes our failures can have that effect in our lives. Our past failures, where we get hung up on it and it's so hard for us to move. It's so far hard for us to grow. It's hard for us to advance rather than this failure that God would like to use to mature you. It becomes a stumbling block in our lives. When you look at Paul used his failures. Not as, it wasn't a stumbling block, but it was a stepping stone for him to mature and truly glorify God with his life. You see it in Acts 22, Acts 26. Every time Paul go and shares, whether it be a king or with a pauper, the first thing Paul would share is his weakness. I was a sinner, a violent man. He wasn't hung upon it where it held him back. But he understood the grace of God that brings salvation. That grace that says it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. That God is able to turn that weakness into a strength. Amen. And use it for his glory and for your maturity. Are you holding on to any weakness of the past this morning? What weakness are you holding on to that may be holding you back from truly maturing as the disciple that God wants you to be? If you're not a Christian this morning, God's calling you. God's got plans for you. But you gotta let go. You've gotta be willing to surrender. What is it you're holding on to this morning? Is it that you're too young? Christianity is something when you're old. Let me tell you, you're wrong. There are young people out there that are struggling. And there's something in you that God can use to help them through. Whatever it is, God can use it. It's not just things in our past, brothers and sisters and friends, that hold us back sometimes. It's even things in our lives presently. Paul had a thorn. The scripture said he had a thorn that bothered him, and he prayed and he begged God to move it. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, sometimes for us, it's not just things in our past, but even things that's happening to us today. It may be a disappointment at work. You're not being treated as you expected to be treated, you know, and it disappoints you. And all of a sudden, you know, you who was once very encouraging and bubbly and lively, you're no longer encouraged and bubbly. You're drawn down because you're not being treated well. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. You know, oftentimes I think about my kids and I'm like, you know, I became a Christian was about 19. My kids were born in the church. They grew up in the church. And I'm like, they should be Christians by now. Why are they not Christians? And be honest with you, sometimes it can be really discouraging. When I see other people's kids getting baptized, and I hear this person is studying and at Light and Darkness, and you know, you gotta go, amen, you know, I'm happy for you, and truly I'm happy, but then there's that part of you, that part of me that's like, what is wrong with me? Why is this happening to me? Why aren't my kids at Light and Darkness? Why aren't my kids? And then I can get into myself, and I can start feeling sorry for myself, and I can say, oh, I'm the worst dad ever. You know, and I need to be more bubbly like Dave. You know, I need to be more, you know, funny like Alex, you know, or calm like somebody. And I start comparing myself rather than surrendering my struggles to God and allow him to use it for his glory. What is holding you back from truly using the gift that God has given you this morning to glorify him? Let's make a decision in 2018 that whatever it is, that we'll surrender it to God. Amen? Because there's nothing at all in our lives, nothing at all that we have done, nothing at all that we have said or have not done or have not said that we should have, that God cannot use for his glory. We just need to acknowledge the signs. We need to reflect on the lessons. And we need to surrender it to God. Amen? The final thing I want to share, that if we want to be lead truly victorious lives, is we need to obey quickly. In verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, you see it. It says, after Saul who became Paul, God, you know, his eyes was open. He received God's grace. God revealed himself to him. God gave him a mission and put it on his heart. The scripture says in verse 20 that he responded immediately. He said he spent a little time with his disciples, but he went out immediately proclaiming the grace of God. You know, when God reveals something to us, when we qualify it and we know that it is from God, it's from God's word, we need to act upon it immediately. Amen? We need to act upon it immediately. God loves when we respond immediately. Abraham, God's friend, when God called him to go to some place that he didn't know, he responded immediately. Immediacy helps us in God's eyes to show that, yes, we're serious about serving God. We're serious about being a servant of God. We're serious about our relationship with God when we take God's word as is and we act upon it. The next thing you notice about Paul is that he prioritized obedience. He wasn't just obedient, but he prioritized obedience in his life. Look at Paul's life. You realize Paul wore many hats. He was an apostle. He healed people. He wrote books. He was a preacher. He was a tent maker. He was a busy man. But he prioritized being obedient to God in his life. You know, sometimes our lives can get so cluttered. Even in the kingdom, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're helping here and we're helping there. And sometimes God's word doesn't get the priority and the attention it needs. And our commitment starts to wane in areas where it shouldn't. And areas that shouldn't have the priority gets it. Are you prioritizing God's purpose for your life? Because you see, God called you for a purpose, brothers and sisters. And if you're not a Christian today, God is calling you too, because he's got plans for you. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. But that plan will not be realized unless we surrender completely, unless we prioritize obeying God's word in our lives. Amen? It is not good enough to say, you know what? To put work before God. It is not right to put sports or something else before God. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when it starts affecting God's purpose for your life, where you're not able to fulfill God's mission for you, then we need to reflect. We need to take note. And we need to change. Amen? No matter what it is you're doing, we got to be ready when God, if God calls on you, that you're ready to go. The prophet Elisha in the Old Testament, what was he doing when he was called? He was a farmer. You heard nothing about him before then. He was just leading a godly life, faithful disciple. And God called him, and he said he left his farming. He cut up the animals and gave it to the poor, and he went. And today we read about the life of Elisha. And we marvel at the things that God accomplished through him. Because he prioritized obedience. He prioritized God's obedience in his life. Not what we think, not what we feel. Not what someone else says, but what God's word says. Amen? You know, we think about Paul. Outside of Jesus Christ, there isn't another man that shaped history and had an impact on history like he did. But Paul, before he was Paul, he had a past. He had some attitudes that wasn't right, some attitudes that wasn't leading to success. But God had to transform him. God had to transform him through his spirit, and the transformation came through him taking note of the signs and reflecting on the lessons. He had to surrender. He had to look into his life and make decisions about things and attitudes that have not been glorifying, things that he held true for years, even being a servant of God. And he had to make a decision to let it go and prioritize the new learning, the new conviction, the new mindset that he got. And the rest is history. We look at Paul now and we emulate, we read about him, we strive to be like him. That is what God can do when we entertain the attitudes that God wants us to have. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. God's got great plans for you as individuals. We often don't know what those plans are. It would be nice to know. But God is saying, show me that you're serious first. Obey me completely. Prioritize my commands in your life. Show me. Don't prioritize some and not others, but completely. And then I'll reveal to you along the way my will. And as we do that, you'll find that your life, that you'll be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life in your generation, just like Paul did. Amen? Amen.